you a couple announcements. So, one, can I say how great it is to have wise women in your life who have the courage to speak gentle, wise truth into you? So, after I was teaching last week, I had one of our wise mentors say, "Hey, this might be too much to do in one semester. Should we maybe slow this down so that we can get all the meat out of this and then maybe kick the marriage to the fall and just do this?" And I am somebody who likes to bite off more than I can chew sometimes. So I was like, that is a wise word. And I pondered that a little bit and asked for some feedback from our mentors. And so we got a pivot, and that is great. I love a good pivot. So I'm really excited about this. So this is, if you walked in today, there was one thing for you to get on the blue table that was outside, and that was a new outline. So I am going to slow this down so that really you have like one chapter a week. And you can do one chapter a week. We were talking about this too. You can get this book on Spotify. You can get it. I'm listening to it right now on Audible. So I've read through it. Now I'm listening to it. I'll probably do it again. This is attainable. And then we can just like chew this slowly, like just kind of ingest all of this. And then I will do in the fall a 10-week marriage series, which I am so, they'll be after the marriage, I think we're having a marriage retreat at the beginning of September. And then it will be after that that I will start with this. And we will be able to go through this material slowly and not consolidate and have some time with this, because I've had several people in the room who've taken the long class of this, like the 9-week class that I've done for several years. And when you do this slowly and do the marriage part, really ingesting it and allowing God to work in your heart and your life, it is just amazing what God will do. So, but no worries, because also my wise mentor friend Betsy Strauss came up to me and she was like, "Do you know how much of this habit formation and marriage and parenting go together? I mean, basically your marriage is a collection of habits. You do stuff. You either go to bed at the same time, you either go to bed at different times, you have patterns in your marriage of how you take care of your children. You do. You got them. Whether you like those or not, you've got them. And that is so true in your parenting too. So as we talk about these habits this semester, we are going to weave in marriage and parenting into all of this. And I just want to give you eyes to see how this is already operational in your life. We just want to put on some glasses so we can see what we're actually doing so that we have the opportunity to change it. You cannot change things you do not see, you know? So we will weave all of that into this. So I love that. I love that I have wise women around me that will speak into my life, you know? So great. And these are the wise women you have too, which is so awesome. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, if you have a daughter and you got a dad in your life, if you have not registered for the daddy-daughter dance, I really encourage you to do that. It is going to be so fun. Alden and I are having the best time planning the most little fun activities for your girls and for your husbands. And if your husband's not available, we've had grandfathers bring girls. So friends, I mean, just make it work, however it works, you know. But it's going to be a square dance. We have a square dance caller. Alden and I are already planning our outfits for what we're going to wear for the square dance. It's going to be real fun. So I've got boots. I've got a hat. It's going to be great. So so that is a week from Saturday. And if you also have not signed up for the women's retreat, I just highly recommend you do that. Elise, let me ask a quick question. I know that there's some pre-activities on Friday, but if the women can't get to the pre-activities and they're just coming for like the dinner and the talk, when does that start? at 5:30. Right. Games night is Thursday night. And then if you just with your husband coming home from work and taking care of the children on Friday, that really, like, for you to not miss, like, the fellowship time and the speaker, that starts on Friday at 5:30. And then, and 5 to 6 is dinner. Yep, 5 to, okay. Great. And then Saturday morning it starts at, a barista. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Elise and I were working on this yesterday, so if mom-to-mom people sign up, we're going to try to put you guys together in the same group so you can just be building your community. So if y'all want to come, I highly recommend it. These women retreats are just so amazing and special. Two more quick announcements. Heritage is having a book fair next week. So there are some there's some flyers out there. So grab that. They have wonderful books that will enrich your life and your children's lives. So we actually have Anna and Lizzie are going to take my credit card and buy some books for our library upstairs. So anyways, we really encourage y'all to maybe do that for your own personal libraries. And then the last thing I want to say is I'm sure we are all aware that we have a weather situation coming in this weekend. So it does look like it's warming up a little bit, but who the heck knows, right? So the church, I think, will make a decision by tomorrow at some point in time in terms of what will happen on Sunday. So just check the website. We will have information there. We might have a 10:30 service but no childcare. We might have everything and everything's totally normal and it blows over. We don't know. But just check the website. Okay, that's a lot of talking. Now I will give this to Elise so she can introduce Shelley. Thanks, y'all.
Okay. He gave us two mics.
Great.
It's my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Shelley Brown, but I want to tell you a little bit about her because she's just a find that I met during COVID, and I was part of the Colson Fellows Program, and we went through this together. But you sometimes look around and go, I think she's smarter than I am. And she's like the smartest girl in the room. So I wanted to learn more about her. And as time went on, this is what I learned. Well, yes, she was smarter. She went to Georgia Tech. Her undergrad was in chemie. And then her master's was biochemistry, as was my mother-in-law. So there, hence the block and hence the boundaries. So she is a physical therapist by training and a clinical nutrition. She teaches Pilates and she's a personal trainer. And she's my personal trainer. I go to her every Wednesday and you walk in, you see her looking and going, we're going to work on that. And next week it's something else. So if I had to say two words to describe her, it's just intentional and careful. And she's just dear. But really, that's what she does. But who she is, we refer to her in our house as the body whisperer. Did y'all see the horse whisperer? But she the body whisperer. Shelley is to bodies as Robert Redford was to horses. So, her love for Imago Dei. She wants each of us to walk in who God created us to be in spirit, soul, and body. And so her part is really working on the body and the soul. She, no pun on words, but she embodies the body teaches the soul. I couldn't think of another word, but she does. She lives. She lives what she teaches. And she's also just a wonderful theologian of the word and how the body works. So I want to just pray for her and bring her up here, if you'll bow your heads. Lord, your word says that we be sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. And that's what this is about. And I ask, Lord, that you give us ears to hear, specifically where you're at work. Thank you that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in your image, with days ordained, and you're familiar with all our ways, our coming and our going, our sitting and our standing. And just help us to learn more about how you skillfully wrought us in our mother's womb. Thank you for Shelley. Bless the work of her hands and bless her teaching today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Morning, ladies.
All right. Well, we have quite a bit of ground to cover today. So hopefully everyone got a packet when you first walked in. Make sure. If you didn't, there's a few sets that I put together on the edge of the table if you want to grab one. Not all of it we're going to refer to today, by no means. This is just for your edification. It's just things that I thought, given the topics, that it might prove to be helpful to you. So these are things you can read, you know, at your leisure. The first two we'll cover, but first off, let me start with a disclaimer in that these are three topics that, and I think Toria mentioned this earlier, I think she's going to slow down a little bit, but these are three topics that in and of themselves could be talked about for this entire time that we have together. So I'm the high-level flyover sky view today, and then Toria, I believe, is going to be unpacking these just a little bit more with you guys as the weeks progress. And let me thank Toria for giving me this forum this morning to come and to share with you guys for the brief time that I have with you. Hopefully, my prayer is that it be not me, my words that are spoken, it is the Holy Spirit speaking through me, and that if anything of me falls to the ground, great. I just pray that I place a small little golden nugget in your shoe that maybe if something I've said spurs you on in the future, that's my hope and prayer. So disclaimer, these are topics that I'm looking at a room of ladies. I know a few of you, not many of you, but these can be hard, you know, as women in society these days, nutrition, our body image, sleep, especially as moms, exercise even, you know, these can be tender and sensitive, so please hear me when I share with you. This is not prescriptive by no means, but this is based on my experience, my job, the work that I do, the people that I work with, just from empirical methods, these work. So if something sounds slightly controversial to you or something that you're like, there's no way I'll ever do that, I'm fine with that. I'm just putting it out there for you guys that you can chew on it for a while. If you know, something, like I said, if something's hitting you and you feel like, yeah, this is something I can begin to implement, fabulous. So that's my disclaimer. And then also consider your season of life, you know, as moms. Some of you, you've raised your children, they're out of the house. Some of you, you're holding them as we speak. And so you've got to know that these are going to be applicable so that, you know, sometimes during child raising, sleep's going to be at a premium, you know. And so those are things, or even nutrition, you know, exercise even, you know, these are going to be sacrifices that you make. But for the whole, we're going to talk about these three topics. Okay, so before I begin the topics, though, especially these days, we want to make sure we're all rooted and grounded in why we're here. And that has a lot to do with worldview. As Elise mentioned, she and I met through Colson Fellows, which is a phenomenal program, but that's for another day to talk about. But the first two, these are the two that we'll refer here to. The first two, I want to just, everybody has a worldview, whether you know it or not, you have one. And so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, that so as we begin to talk about these topics, we're coming from a biblical worldview, because that colors everything in your world, in your life, the decisions you make. So just quick definition of what is worldview. I mean, you can narrow it down by saying this is the lens through which you view the world. And hopefully the rooted foundational aspect of how you're seeing it is from a biblical perspective. But this is great. I love this image, is that this basically tells you that based on your worldview, your beliefs hinge upon that, your values then are transmitted, and then your behavior is what people see above the surface. So therefore, the iceberg is a great representation of, it's the worldview under the surface that is feeding and supports your behavior. So when we talk about the nutrition, the sleep, and the movement, exercise, why are you doing those things? What are you pursuing them with? And therefore, thinking about it from the perspective of, and I love how in the book, and if you haven't had a chance to read it, I know that there's copies available to you today, but he does a wonderful job of, and this is a high level too. I mean, any of these things that he's covering in these chapters are really kind of an overview. But I love how he gives you little tools at the end of the chapters to kind of sink into them a little deeper. But he talks about the fact that that basically, you know, what is the most important thing? I love A.W. Tozer's quote. I'll just quote it. Basically, he says that, you know, when you think about God, what comes to mind when you think about him? And that is the most important thing about us, about you. And so how you're thinking about these topics really roots and grounds into how you think about God and who you are in him. So I love how he used the whole mirror and window image. And we use that actually in Colson Fellows through some teachings that we do. And it's basically, we don't get stuck just looking at the mirror and what we see represented, but we think about looking outward and therefore how, as we take these things into mind, then we are able to be better advocates for, as well as representatives of the kingdom of God, okay? So that's all my preemptive things. And as Elise mentioned, because we are the Imago Dei, you know, that we represent God here in the church when we're in the body and we're in our safe spaces, but also when we go out and we're in the world. All right. So in saying that, it's about the integration, ladies. So all three of these topics, they stand alone, but yet they all play together well, or they should. Because here's the thing within the body itself, physically, so just thinking about from a physical standpoint, we have to be integrated. And if we're not, things break down, and it begins to tell on you. Whether it's from a muscle perspective, tightness, stiffness, it's from a sickness, immune system perspective, it's from just a mental behavioral perspective, which is tied to the gut, and we'll talk about that a little bit. So all of these things, body, mind, and spirit, they're integrated as well as nutrition, sleep, and exercise. Okay, I feel like I'm clicking, so I apologize. I'm wondering if it's my hair. All right, so let's unpack a little bit on the nutrition. So like I said, I've given you some handouts. Don't necessarily look through them right now, but there are some things that you can look through resource-wise that might prove to be helpful. So I love how he says at the beginning of the book, although it's attributed to Hippocrates, but actually they don't really think that he said it, but basically, let food be thy medicine. And it is so true. Like, the way that we approach food these days is really counterproductive. It's not how God designed our ways that we should be eating. And he breaks it down into fasting and feasting, which is also beautiful. That's the rhythm of our life. But if you look at nutrition, we've moved so far from how God actually intended us to nourish our bodies, because we are in a society that is all about efficiency, that's about quickness, it's about, you know, what the microwave meal, so to speak, as opposed to the long, drawn-out, beautiful table, sitting down to dinner, and just basically savoring and really relishing our food. And so from a nutrition standpoint, this is just a question I'll ask you, are you eating for convenience or are you eating for health and vitality? Do you want to flourish in your life? Because really, it's not even about what you're consuming, it's how you're processing what you're consuming. It's how you're taking in the nourishment from your food and then therefore what your body is absorbing. And like I said, we'll talk about the gut just a little bit more when it comes to that. But it's all about, like, once again, your worldview, like God's design for meals and food or the modern societal. So that's something just to take away. So let's talk about 4 points I wrote down, quality of food, all right? So that has a lot to do with nutrient value, okay? So people always say, you know, choose organic over conventional. And there's a lot of reason for that, because a lot of times these days, our conventional foods, one, they're shipped from many, 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 many miles away. They've been picked way long time ago. they've been genetically modified, and they're sprayed with pesticides and herbicides and all manner of chemicals that then you absorb as a result of eating. I don't care how much you wash them, they're ingrained into the food. And so I would say the more local you can choose the food, the more organic you can choose the food, the things also most people don't think about, because we are so privileged in this country to have readily available food, but also seasonally. There's reasons why certain things grow at times during the year, okay? During the winter, we're the root, you know, thinking about like the tubers, you know, the sweet potatoes and the potatoes, but also your greens, your Swiss chard and your collard greens and your turnip greens and these sorts of things. It's the nutrient value in these specific foods that grow at certain times of year that our bodies actually need during these seasons in which we have a little bit of cold weather. Now, we live in the South, so it's not exactly like deep, deep winter, but, you know, it does get cold, and the days are shorter, and we need certain nutrient values. And it's also our bodies are drawn towards, think about in the winter, people want like soups, you know, and teas and warm things to kind of nourish us from the inside out. So quality of food, very important. So I would say, and he mentions it in the book, actually, I liked how he said this, you know, if you have to buy less, then buy less, but buy better, you know, so that, and I know that's hard with families. Once again, the caveat is, I understand seasons in life, but it is better, ladies, to try to choose a higher quality food. Like, don't skimp on your meats. That is one thing I always tell people. Literally, buy the grass-fed, buy the pasture-raised, buy the eggs. I'm sorry, chickens are not vegetarian. They need to eat bugs. They need to eat mealworms. They need to be out in environments where they can actually get sunshine and be foraging and eating things that aren't their natural diet, because these animals, when they consume whatever they're consuming, we consume them. And then therefore it has an impact on our bodies, which we'll talk about a little bit more when it gets to sleep and even movement. Inflammation, which is one of the articles that I gave you. Inflammation is huge. Inflammation in some ways is very good for us. We need it for healing purposes, but so many people these days live in a constant state of inflammation. And so from an inflammatory standpoint, it impacts our gut specifically. So in order to be able to absorb our food, we want to be eating less inflammatory producing foods. So first, quality of food. And then second is preparation of food. So he talks about, too, in terms of the feasting. It's like, okay, look at it as a gift. Look at it as enjoyment. It's the ability to be able to prepare your food. Now, some of you are like, oh, my gosh, absolutely not. I hate cooking the kitchen. Ugh. I get that. But also, though, think about it's a privilege for you to be able to provide for your family in that regard, that you're able to nourish these little bodies, you know, not only yours and your husband's, but these little bodies that you've been gifted with by the Lord. And so thinking about what they're consuming and then what you're consuming so that you can be the best version of the mom that you need to be to your child and to your spouse. So preparation of food. And what I mean by that, too, is not only your attitude towards it, but how you're preparing it, meaning there's so many foods these days that so many people feel like, oh, well, you know, I have sensitivity to, or I have allergies. I'm not discounting that, but it's oftentimes actually the way that it's prepared that it's causing your body to reject, such as grains, ladies. They need to be prepared properly, because there's certain things in plants that are anti-nutrient value to us as humans, okay? Those things, those enzymes need to be broken down so that it makes it easier for us to consume. Beans, they need to be soaked, and then the water needs to be poured off. And so these are things in which to be considering of, that when you start to feel like you're having problems digesting certain foods, it's actually the way that they were prepared that caused your body to reject them initially. So preparation of food, and then three, eating with intention. And that has a lot to do with slow and purposeful. So many people eat on the go. Once again, I understand as moms, where's Anna? She basically said, not telling you, but she had to be quick about the breakfast this morning, you know? And that happens, you know, when you're trying to get places and you're just like, hey, this is the morning, grab a banana, ladies, you know, we're on the go. But it's also about thinking about the intentionality of meals. How many times, I know as myself, we ate at the dinner table. We had specific times for our gathering together that we sat down, and we were slow. We could not be excused from the table until everyone was done. And so it wasn't a you sit down, start to eat, you're finished, you go, you know, and everybody comes in and pops in. Or you don't even ever sit down at the table. So just think about trying to find that rhythm as a family to also make that a cherished time of community. And he talks about how food should be about community. Now, I recognize I'm a single person. When I eat dinner, it's me and my cat. So he's my community. So it's not like I have, you know, a lot of times that I'm in, unless I'm going out to dinner, I'm with friends. But it is about thinking about gathering together. It's the feasting aspect of relishing and slowing down, chewing your food, which is helping your digestion, and being just more mindful of how you're eating. And then fourth, it's not just, and I think I've already said this, but it's not just about what you're eating, but more so how are you absorbing and digesting your food. So the health of your gut. And so this is very valuable. So many people these days, and I see it, I see a lot of them, is that it's not so much the foods that they're eating, it's the bodies are rejecting it because they've got a gut that's gotten leaky. You've probably heard this, leaky gut syndrome. But it's where basically you've got inflammation that has developed, and it's allowed those tight junctions to start to open a little bit. And then what ends up happening is food particles that should have been digested, they retain their structure way more than they should, and they actually get into the bloodstream. And then all of a sudden the body goes, wait a minute, this is a pathogen, this is an invading foreign object, it shouldn't be here. So then it mounts up an immune response, but then it codes that in its DNA and it says, this is bad. And so when you eat that food the next time, your body goes, whoa, here's what we had to attack the last time, and now we're gonna start attacking it. So that's what starts building up those sensitivities and those allergies, is because the gut didn't do its job and it was hindered as a result of poor eating habits, too quick of eating, and then also with supplements, this is part of nutrition. While I believe our supplements should be food-based, the one thing that what happens as we get older is our ability to produce digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid in our stomach diminishes. And so technically, the older you're getting, the less able you are to digest your food. And some people actually have difficulty even as young people. And so I always suggest, if you have gas, bloating, digestive disruption of any kind during your meals, post-meal, you probably need some digestive enzymes. And that's different from probiotics. Now, probiotics is your microflora in your gut, but digestive enzymes is in your stomach. So that's helping to break the food down better so that it digests more properly. And oftentimes, also acid reflux, that's a result of not too much acid, it's too little acid, because the food is staying too long in the stomach, it's getting pushed up into the esophageal cavity, and it's causing that burning. And so people take antacids, they're actually contributing towards the problem. And so I like to show, I brought some, here's my little show and tell. Digestive enzymes, guys. So let your supplements be your food. So digestive enzymes should be the things that your body already naturally produces. So it's hydrochloric acid, it's betaine, it's ox bile, which we don't produce ox bile, but I'm saying ox bile is a animal based. Think about it as being like cures like. So ox bile is something that we can take that helps us to produce more hydrochloric acid. So things that are actually like natural. And on the topic of supplements, so many people. This is a multi-billion dollar industry these days, ladies. Don't be taking supplements randomly, willy-nilly. I always tell people, I'm like, your body, unique. You were wonderfully and created by God. So you are in need of certain unique things that maybe the next person isn't. But I can say ubiquitously, the things I'll mention today are typically most people need. So digestive enzymes, but make it like a food-based one. Vegetarian, I'm sorry, not so good. You need actually like animal product digestive enzymes. And then things that help your body to absorb better. So a lot of people, when I mention organ meats, they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to eat those. Well, they're really good for us, though. So beef liver. If you don't like the taste of liver, they make them in capsules. So this has got chock full of nutrients that your body utilizes for energy purposes, helps you to sleep better, helps your skin to retain elasticity. It's chock full of B vitamins. It's got iron, which ladies, especially as childbearing years, most women are slightly low. You may not necessarily test within the standard reference ranges, but you're probably slightly anemic, especially if you have like heavy cycles. So beef liver tends to help to produce better energy, better production of heme iron in the body. So that's a great, and this is becoming more and more like, when I used to tell people about this like 9, 10 years ago, they're like, never. But now, I mean, you can buy them in Sprouts, you know, so it's becoming more and more popular. But so it's thinking about the things that you're eating, but also, like I said, how you're digesting them. So if you have some digestive issues, I've put a couple of the little handouts, just gives you some, they're, once again, they're not comprehensive, but they're just giving you some little things to think about in terms of food sensitivities and also lies that we've believed about food. So that is one of the reasons why a great resource, and that's why I give you a handout for the Weston A. Price Foundation. If you're not familiar, it's a wonderful resource of way more material than you'll ever want online. They have beautiful articles, and these are written by scientists, professors, chemists, nutritionists. These are well-informed individuals. Great resources for moms. There's wonderful articles about helping picky eaters with your children to begin to start to eat things, but then also like the ways in which we introduce foods to our children, the order in which we introduce them, how to help to begin to help them to have good digestive, you know, ability, and then also the specific nutrients that they're needing at, you know, at different stages in life. So the lies, there's a little in that one that talks about politically correct nutrition. So you think about like the cycles that we've gone through, like the whole low-fat craze. Ugh, horrible. Ladies, things that have fat should have fat, you know? Like when you're eating dairy, it should be full fat. And on the topic of dairy, all right, now this is where it gets controversial, but I'm just going to say it because I technically was born, or supposedly was born, with an allergy to milk, all right? So you can think about how well that went, all right? But technically I'm not. I'm allergic to pasteurized, homogenized, dead milk. I can drink raw milk till the cows come home, literally. And raw milk, raw dairy, is how you should be consuming dairy because it still has all the naturally occurring nutrients and fat in its proper structure that your body knows what to do with and digests. Most people are allergic to dairy because it's been broken down and the nutrient value has been removed. Now, the CDC and a lot of the mainstream medical will scare you to death and say raw milk is horrible for you and you're going to get sick. I'm sorry, that's a lie, because actually there's way more foodborne illnesses as a result of conventional milk production than there is raw. Now, there's a caveat. If you got to know your farmer, you need to know, you know, the person that you're buying your raw milk from, make sure that it's, you know, reputable. But otherwise, I can tell you within my circle of people and throughout my teaching of all the years, I've never had one person get sick from raw milk, ever. So raw dairy. But that's one. And then vegetarian. Okay, I'm not going to step on any toes because I'll just share a personal story. I was vegetarian for 15 years when I was younger. It wrecked my health, I can tell you. We are not meant to be vegetarian. We are animal-consuming beings, okay? Veganism, even worse, okay? Because we're robbing our bodies of certain vital nutrients, synergistic nutrients. Now, that's not to say that you're supposed to eat a piece of an animal every single meal, by no means. But these people that eschew, you know, meat for years and years and years, especially as women, they actually end up with damaged bodies, mentally as well as physically. So vegetarianism, I'll just leave that with you guys. Do your research. And then also, gonna step on some toes here with this. So be mindful, ladies, caffeine. I'm gonna couple caffeine and alcohol wine. You know, so people use caffeine to start their day and then they use wine to end their day. So both of those have impacts on the body so that, caffeine naturally occurring. I always tell people, you know, if you can drink coffee, great, but make sure you're drinking organic, fair trade, you know, shade grown. Coffee is one of the most pesticide sprayed products on the market. You're consuming a lot of chemicals when you drink that coffee. So Folgers, not so good. But then also the caffeine, ladies, it has a huge impact on your adrenal glands. And what it does is it begins to actually, while it gives you that quick burst of energy, it actually slowly over time erodes your body's natural ability to manage your circadian rhythm and to sleep well, which we'll talk about. And then wine, you know, you end your day with wine, that's sugar. So basically your body is converting that strictly into, so you're basically eating dessert, either a glass or two, and then it disrupts your sleep patterns once again, and also the next day, your energy values. So I am not a teetotaler, by no means, but so many women, I was actually just listening to a Focus on the Family podcast the other day, and he was interviewing this woman who's written a book, and she was saying how, as a strong believer in Christ, she had recognized that she was starting to use wine kind of as a crutch, you know, to help her to relax in the evenings and also to kind of take her mind off of the stress of being a mom of four kids. And so it's like, be mindful of the things that you're putting in your body. They impact integration. They impact downstream. So, and then I mentioned the supplements. Yeah, so in terms of supplements, just the quality, be mindful of, don't go to Costco and buy your supplements. Not the best. You want to look at the fillers in them. Like when you read additional other ingredients, really it should say capsule gelatin. I mean, there shouldn't be a lot of fillers because otherwise you're getting less of the true thing and more of the fillers in them. And then personal needs, like I said, don't be taking like a lot of supplements. I always tell people multivitamins, it's kind of shotgun approach. You're really not going to absorb all of it. A lot of them are synthetic, so try to get food-based. And then time of year, certain times of year, like in the wintertime, zinc is great for your body, helps your immune system to stay stronger, probably a little bit of vitamin D supplementation, which, speaking of, technically the best form of vitamin D is a cod liver oil. And you don't have to, people think about, oh, you got to drink it down. No, they make it in capsules. But cod liver oil, there's a reason why your grandmother, or maybe your great-grandmother, some of you, there's a reason why they use cod liver oil. It's really exceptional. It's chock full of vitamin D3, K2. It's got your omega-3 fatty acids. You're getting vitamin A. You're getting like a multi frontal supplement. Okay, how are we doing? Oh, we got to move on. All right, that's the high-level view of nutrition. All right, so I want to take a quick moment, maybe one or two questions.
Sure.
Yeah. Anybody? Yes.
I have a question about the raw milk.
Yes.
Okay, so my family gets deliveries from a local farm, and they sell raw milk.
Uh-huh. To the public, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I've never ordered it because it says pork. That makes me nervous.
Sure.
Can I order their raw milk?
Totally.
And give it to my family?
Completely, because that's every day when I, or not every day, but every Saturday when I go to the farmer's market and I buy mine from the farm, it very clearly says, because for legal purposes in the state of Georgia, it has to be marked for pet consumption only. And that's the way that they get around the FDA and all that. If you go to South Carolina, you can buy it in the store. You know, so it's state by state. But yes, if it says for pet consumption only, it's just from a legal perspective for them to be able to sell it.
Okay.
Yes.
And then how quickly does that need to be consumed? I'm just thinking like for amount.
Sure. And that is, okay, so that's the other thing.
No,
that's a fallacy. Raw milk actually lasts way longer than conventionally, because raw milk, like I said, still has the full fat, still has all the nutrient value, and basically raw milk just turns into buttermilk. I mean, you can still use it in baking. I mean, it gets thick and clumpy, and it kind of collects at the top. So you get the cream on the top, so you can pour that off for your coffee if you're going to drink coffee or whatever. But if you don't, you just shake it up. All the cream goes in, and it's frothy, and it's thick, and it's good. And no, I mean, a good gallon of raw milk will last, I can drink it 2.5 weeks. Now, it gets a little bit more tangy because it is starting to kind of turn a little. So it depends on how, tangy you want it, but it's great. Now, it depends on the quality of the animal, like the quality of the farm and the animals and everything, too. Yeah, yes. Does that answer?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But, I mean, they sell it. I mean, I go, my farmer's at the Peachtree Road Farmer's Market, St. Philip's Cathedral, every Saturday, So, I mean. Yep. And there's several of them. Yeah, Woodsong Farms, Carlton Farms. They've got a few CSAs where you can check it off and say, hey, you want your raw milk. And there's a website, realmilk.org, ladies. You can look at, or Weston A. Price, if you go on the Weston A. Price, they'll hook you up with local. There's one in Powder Springs. So it just kind of depends on the area of town that you live in. Okay. I don't know who was first. That's a good question. Excellent. And so I can tell you, especially as we get older, there are certain things, for example, the digestive enzymes that I mentioned. Also, even though we live in the South and so many people wear sunscreen these days, so vitamin D, I see a lot of vitamin D deficiency in people. So a supplementation of vitamin D3 is typically, especially in the winter, because we aren't getting the sunshine, so that is typically one that I say, hey. Or if you find yourself getting sick, your immune system's run down, typically you're low in zinc. So it's a hard way to just answer you in a simple way. You kind of have to pay attention to the rhythms of your body and kind of recognize kind of where Like, are you having some problems, you know? Are you experiencing probiotics? That's a good one, you know? Like, are you having, like, gas and bloating? Are you having, like, you know, like, after meals and things? One, you might need some digestive enzymes, or two, you might want some microflora, you know, replenish it. But that's great that you don't take anything at present. So, yeah, I mean, if you feel like you're, like, going strong, then I'd say stay status quo until you feel like maybe. Now, I can tell you something that I do recommend because it does hit a lot of those things because it helps to seal the gut is so many people drink collagen these days, which is excellent. But I can tell you, once again, going back to the quality of your collagen, it needs to be grass-fed, pasture-raised. And so many people go out and they buy the Vital Proteins, not speaking ill of it, but that's collagen 1 and 3. Ladies, there's all 5. Because if you're just getting 1 and 3, you're actually, synergistically, your body's not really benefiting from it. So a lot of the collagen that's on the market is really cheap. And so ones that it'll say grass-fed, has to say it, non-GMO, soy-free, all that. But then it has to say all 5 types with amino acids. Okay, so that's your collagen. This one just happens to be one that I found that so far it's tested really well, but this happens to be a multi-collagen complex, so it's got the grass-fed collagen from bovine, it's got organic chicken bone broth, so bone broth, exceptional, can't speak enough good things about bone broth, beef bone broth, it's got wild-caught fish collagen, and then it's got eggshell. So certain things you might be sensitive to, you might want to pay attention, but this is all 5 types, so... Oh, yeah, I can, yeah. So these are just ones that I've used in my practice that people seem to respond well to. And
if you have a good multivitamin, or if you think that's not a good
one? I don't tend to do multivitamins, yeah, just because of what I mentioned earlier. Okay, let's take one more, because then we got to get to sleep. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so that's perfect, excellent. We're talking to moms. That's the benefit of taking supplements that are food-based. So no, they don't harm you from the perspective of your body is actually when you're pregnant, you're actually needing typically more of certain nutrients. So the cod liver oil, fabulous for you. It would be great because it's giving your body those nutrients that are growing your little baby. Digestive enzymes might help you to digest your food better so that your little baby is getting, you know, more nutrient value. So no, nothing that I've mentioned thus far would be harmful. What's that? Oh, yeah. So just when you go to the store, you want to, I mean, every store these days typically carries, I mean, Trader Joe's even, you know, you just read. So ladies, become one, be Bereans. Always do your research. Let's not follow the Instagram influencers. Let's not, you know, like, oh, I heard this on a podcast. Let's actually like take responsibility and start to read things. But yeah, they sell, good question. But yeah, they'll have organic, shade grown, fair trade. And the only reason I say that about the shade grown is because typically if it's shade grown, they don't have to spray it with as many chemicals, but then you got the added benefit of the organic too. So they shouldn't by law. But yeah, they sell it at Sprouts, Whole Foods. I'm not a Publix shopper, but I'm sure they do it in Publix. Kroger even, they got it in Kroger. Okay, all right, moving on. All right, sleep. Okay, look. Watching. That's why I was like, gosh, we gotta get this plane moving here. All right, so sleep, ladies. Okay, so nutrition, though, I can tell you. That's why I mentioned the caffeine in the morning, because this, remember, integration, everything works together. So the caffeine in the morning wakes you up, gives you, or, I don't know, some people use the caffeine in the afternoons, and they think, oh, it doesn't impact my sleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Because it impacts your adrenal glands, which impacts your circadian rhythm over time, and your body's ability to naturally set itself with the rhythms of sunrise and sunset. And then as your body starts to produce melatonin at night, if you've had caffeine, it pushes it back and then you're more wide awake. Okay, but sleep. All right, let's talk about that. So one, remember, caveat from reminder of season of life. Some of you, it's going to be a little disrupted, you know. I'm looking at you people with the babies here. So knowing, and those of you that are pregnant, might be a little uncomfortable. You're having to shift a lot at night or get up and pee, you know? So know that. But sleep, I loved how he said these top things, which I just wrote down, but he has them in the book. You know, these days, and that's the thing, it's like more and more people are becoming more familiar with and aware, but like sleep hygiene, I'm sure you guys have all heard. But regular, scheduled time, Don't be, you know, even if you're a night owl, regardless of whether you're the early bird that gets the worm or the night owl, try to make sure you're getting in bed at a consistent time. With kids, you guys know, schedules mean things. It is important to start to draw those boundaries. And I always tell people, the more hours of sleep you get prior to midnight, the better. So your body actually gets deeper REM sleep and drops in. If you can get in bed by at least, if you can have lights out, I should say, not even in bed, because a lot of people read, I do read at night, but lights out by 10, season of life, I understand, but at least that way you're getting more hours of sleep prior to midnight so that your body's natural rhythm is starting to shift more towards what it should be, which is maintaining with the sunrise, okay? So regular scheduled bedtime. Now, if it's a little bit later on the weekend or, you know, you've had a night that you have a special occasion, all of these things are within moderation. But for the most part, I'm just saying regular scheduled bedtime. Then dark. Darkness, ladies. I had a roommate, this is years ago, she kept her TV on at night. So it needs to be dark. And when I say dark, I mean dark. And sadly, in the state, you know, in the state that we live in, I mean, not Georgia, I should say, in the city of Atlanta, light pollution is rampant. I mean, it's ubiquitous, you know. When I go home at Christmas time to Montana, I got some of the best sleep because it's dark, it's cold, and it's noiseless. So I live in the city of Atlanta here. I get all three of those. But try to maintain as dark a room as possible, whether that's blackout curtains or some people, you know, like to sleep with the little eye things, whatever you can do to try to shut off, you know, any form of light. And that's another thing I'll just be mindful of. Well, I'll talk about it in just a second. So dark and then cold. Believe me, you actually sleep better in the cold. Your body naturally will start to, you know, shut down. And the optimal room temperature is, now, I don't do this in the summer. There's no way I'm paying for this electricity, but is 64 degrees, 64 degrees. But in the winter, I just keep my heat on at 62 at night. So by 8 p.m., it starts cycling down 62 degrees at night. Or if necessary, if I'm out and about and I'm sleeping somewhere else, I crack my window. So that at least, and I close the door, you know, so that there's coldness in that room. Or like when I used to travel for a living and I'd stay in a hotel, I would turn that, you know, when they used to have like the air conditioning units, I'd turn that air conditioning unit on and turn it down, sleep great. Because it also forces your body to temperature regulate. So many people, so many women, now that goes back to nutrition, but so many women are always, I'm so cold. Well, that tells me your adrenals and your thyroid are technically not working properly because that's your gas and your brake of your temperature regulation in your body. But the more you acclimate to sleeping at, you know, cold at night, the better and the deeper sleep you'll get. And then no electronics. Mm-mm-mm. No electronics. EMFs, ladies, we're bombarded. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we live in a world that with radiation these days, we're just constantly. But try your bedroom should be kind of like a safe haven. So no electronics, especially your phones. Don't sleep with your phone. Don't put it under your pillow. Now, I understand as moms, you know, you gotta make sure you're keeping track of your children. I'm not saying that. But, like, don't be on your phone right before you turn off the light and then put it down next to you. Because that blue light, ladies, it's, you know, you think, oh, poo-poo, you know. No, it's causing your brain to constantly think it's sunshine outside, and it prevents you from getting true deep rest, which goes back to the wine thing. So why people think, oh, I can drink a glass of wine, and I'll go to sleep better. No, it just anesthetizes you. You actually don't get true restorative sleep. Your body just, it's like when you go under anesthesia for surgery. You're really not sleeping. It's just your brain's kind of chemically, you know, altered for those hours, period of time. So no electronics, no EMF in the, so wearing Fitbits, ladies, if you wear your Fitbit at night, it's not ideal because you're constantly being electronically stimulated. Your cells, even if you don't realize it, your little cells, we're electrical beings. We have polarity in our body and our little cells vibrate at a certain level when they're constantly getting exposed to electronics. So just be mindful, you know, so many people wear their Fitbits to keep track of their sleep. Well, I'll just leave it at that. Okay. And then food, alcohol, we've already talked about that. He even mentioned, like, try not to eat. You know, it's technically they say it's within minimum 2 hours, 3 hours of going to sleep at night because your body is then trying to digest that food. And so it's drawing energy away from you, moving into a parasympathetic state. Okay. So there's you've got two branches of your central nervous system. You've got your autonomic So that's your fight or flight response, and then you have your parasympathetic. That's your rest and digest, okay? So you don't want to be having your body try to just process the food that you ate when it should already have been moving through that digestive cycle and then allowing you to rest, okay? And then hormones. So, okay, we're a room of ladies, okay. That could be in and of itself its own its own talk. But hormones really play into, especially as you're pregnant or even post-pregnancy. So that's your thyroid and your adrenals. I always tell people, if your adrenals are strong, then hormonally, you're probably going to have very many less fluctuations, especially as you start moving into perimenopause and menopause. The women who have strong adrenals, they will sail through menopause without issue. Truly. And so thinking about your adrenals, like you were talking about like supplements, certain people, if you're stressed, well, we live in the world that we do, but so, and your moms, but stress depletes your adrenal glands. So bad food. So think about chemicals and all that in your food deplete your adrenal glands. So there's so many things that deplete our adrenal glands. So adrenals have a lot to do with our norepinephrine, our epinephrine, you know, so it's chemically, hormonally in the body, those adrenal glands get, and then our thyroid, so many women, as they start to move through perimenopause and menopause, they'll start having thyroid problems. It didn't begin with their thyroid, it began with their adrenals years ago, because the adrenals finally gave up the ghost, and then the thyroid said, I'm here to help, and then it gets fatigued, and then you have a whole bad cycle, so. Think about hormones as you're going through pregnancy. You're going to have hot flashes probably or some night sweats or, you know, you're going to be kind of can't get restful. That's okay. Something to think about is as opposed to so many people resort to sleep medications. Please don't. They really negatively impact your body. Instead, I always tell people really what you need to address is your neurotransmitters in your brain. So GABA and L-tryptophan. L-tryptophan. Turkey, ladies, Thanksgiving. But L-tryptophan is a wonderful amino acid that you can take that helps your body. It's like after you've eaten turkey at Thanksgiving. So it just helps your body to relax and soothe, and it actually helps you to get into deeper sleep, REM sleep. And then GABA, most people are actually GABA deficient because, like I said, we live in a society that's just so stressful. So GABA is one of those things you want to take very little of, but GABA also helps you to smooth out at night and helps you to sleep better. So I always tell people these are much better to take than melatonin. Melatonin is great if you're going to travel overseas and you want to get reset onto your, you know, a time period really quick. But melatonin is a hormone that our body does produce. And so anytime you take an external form of a hormone, your body will down-regulate your own natural production. So melatonin, you don't want to use, I mean, you can take it for, you know, like a weekend or something, but you don't want to take it like continuously over time. So I'll put these up here too. Just little things. Okay. And then breathing. Ooh, so this is a big one. So I talked about this. I did a talk last year here on the spine, feet, and posture. And breathing, ladies, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore, you're a mouth breather. I'll just say that. Then you're breathing through your mouth at night, which actually is putting tremendous stress on your body. It's putting stress on your brain. It's putting stress on your heart. So it has a lot to do with your airway, but it also has a lot to do with your sleep posture. So be mindful of, one, your mattress. So many people these days spend good money on mattresses, ladies. It's very important. I mean, think about how many hours you're in bed at night, and good support. And I always tell people, technically, innerspring mattress, so much better for you than a foam latex mattress. One, chemicals. I mean, if you're gonna get it, natural latex. At least that's safe, no off-gassing. But all this memory foam and Tempur-Pedic, not good. One, it doesn't support your spine, and two, like I said, just all the chemicals. So, but mouth breathing, tape your mouth at night. You might have seen this, but literally paper tape. I meant to bring some with me, not like scotch tape or duct tape. You might want to do that for your husband. No. Okay. So mouth tape, ladies. It doesn't have to be a big piece. You can just put it, you can put it lengthwise, you can put it widthwise, but just test yourself. If you wake up and you're like ripping that sucker off, that means you're typically trying to breathe with your mouth. And so you slowly, but what it does is it forces your body to slowly start to use your nose. Your sinus cavities will open. Believe it or not, your face will actually start to broaden because you're actually then beginning to breathe. If you look at people, they have very narrow jaws. That's something that Weston A. Price talks about. And their sinuses are constricted. And so they sound really nasally all the time. It's because they're really not breathing through through their nose, and that impacts the ability of our body to rest and to restore at night to sleep. So mouth breathing. And then I gave you a handout, heavy metals. Heavy metals, a lot of people are exposed to them through the foods that they're eating, but also through our environment, the water even. I mean, heck, they add aluminum into our drinking water, into it in the Atlanta municipal water sources. So please don't drink the tap water in Atlanta. Ooh. But heavy metals collect in our cells, like I was talking about earlier, and certain parts of our organs, and aluminum and mercury specifically, you think about it, they're excitotoxic. So they cause your cells to constantly be agitated. Like if I were sitting next to you and I just was like peek, 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 poking on you the whole time, you really wouldn't be very settled and happy. And that's what your cells feel like. So heavy metals is one of those things. And I gave you a list of, you can look at that, of sources of heavy metals and then symptoms. So that might be something you might want to look through. But those keep you up at night. They'll cause you to grind your teeth. They'll cause you to have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom. Like you have to pee a lot. Now, I'm not talking about when you have a baby pressing on you. No. But there's certain symptoms that heavy metals and parasites. Parasites also cause sleep disturbances. And then let me talk about something, permission to rest, which is naps. I can tell you, like all the way growing up, 20s, even in my like up to my mid-30s, I was like, nap? Ooh. Why would I ever do that? I got so much I need to get done. And then I went through a health crisis as a result of being a vegetarian and all manner of things. And I thought, whew, naps. I love them. I mean, I can lay down and sleep with the best of them for 10 to 15 minutes. I mean, sometimes, it's even if you don't sleep, you just lay there and just close your eyes and rest, because your body naturally will use it as a reset. And so it's a little siesta. There's a reason why they call them warm climate and cold climate cultures. There's a reason the warm climate cultures do a siesta during the day, because they reset. They're taking time for themselves to re-energize. So, but keep it short. Don't be napping for 2 to 3 hours, because then that's going to impact your sleep at night. But definitely, if you're feeling like you're just like, whew, I need a cup of coffee, you might need a 10-minute nap instead. So might give yourself permission to just lay down and take a quick break. Okay, I talked about your mattress. Pillow too, ladies, be mindful of your pillow. Technically, from a postural standpoint, if you're a side sleeper, you want a pillow that's high enough that's going to support your head, so that when you're laying on your side, your head's not like that. Or it's also not like that. Okay, so be mindful of the way that you, or if you're a back sleeper, you want to be like bleh, at night. Or definitely no one should be a belly sleeper. Bad, bad for your low back and your neck. Ugh. Over time. So pillows. Natural fibers, talked about that. So natural, as much as you can keep natural products in your house. Cotton, 100% cotton. Let's stay away from the polyester and all those things. They might feel good, but technically our bodies will. You lay on a set of natural like linen sheets or cotton sheets, your body naturally feels better. I'm serious. Or like you lay on a natural like cotton mattress as opposed to like these Tempur-Pedic memory foam. Your body just naturally, it's like I said, energetically, those little cells go, oh yeah, I know what this is. God made it, you know, as opposed to chemical, being a chemical engineer, chemical synthesized things. And then I talked about the sleep aids with the GABA. Oh, I didn't bring it, but essential oils also, very helpful. Some people, smell is like olfactory, is one of those things that it will take us to places that our bodies naturally will gravitate towards. So think lavender's great. Other ones are very, very soothing. So if you have like a little diffuser for your room, or even, I meant to bring it, but there's a great one called Circadian Rhythm. You put it at the back of your ears, and it works. It's like, whoo, you lay down, you're like, oh, and you wake up. Okay. All right. Sleep questions. I know, I'm throwing a lot of stuff out, sorry. You're like, whoa, where are we? Yes, ma'am. Yes, so we all have parasites, okay? I hate to break it to you. We're chock full of bugs, all right? They're good things. They're synergistic in our bodies, and they do good things. But it's when the bad bugs outweigh the good bugs. And meaning microflora, but then also, yeah, parasites. We get exposed to them all the time from our food, but it's just whether or not our body is healthy and whole enough to expel them. The one thing parasites are attracted to is heavy metals. So when we have heavy metal content in our body, that little parasite goes, ooh, I like this. And they will stay around way longer. So pay attention to symptoms. All right, I'm just going to mention some things. Well, and then kids get parasites all the time. Then you get the parasites from the kids, okay? Or if you have pets. Pets are great. I love animals, but they have bugs and parasites. All right, so symptoms. I mentioned bruxism, so teeth grinding at night, headaches, gut disruption, as I mentioned, rashes, itchiness, thrush, like in a child, or like, okay, let's talk about yeast. Yeast, very much for women. And I'm not just talking about like yeast infections, but I'm talking about in your mouth and your eyes, like itchiness on your eyelids. So any, like a lot of times, like eczema and psoriasis is because of your gut, but that's also because parasites are present. Anal itching, hemorrhoids, like if you're having problems, like if you're really constipated. I can tell you one of the best things to remove from a gut perspective is coffee enemas, believe it or not. They're fabulous. They actually bring energy down. They're putting you into your parasympathetic mode, but they basically what they do is the coffee itself does not have an impact from a caffeine standpoint, but the naturally occurring nutrients in the coffee opens up the hepatic vein and it causes your liver, which oftentimes liver flukes, it causes the liver to flush into the descending colon, and then you bloop, go to the bathroom and you're flushing all that out. But it's also toning. It's a tonifier, so it's beginning to start to help you to have better peristalsis motion, which is the contraction of your colon as it pushes the poop out. So coffee enemas are great. Causes a lot of times if you're prone to headaches, it will cause your headaches to disappear. There's other things. You can chelate certain things. Heavy metals you can chelate, but parasites too. Wormwood, black currant, you know, like certain, yeah, supplements that you could take. It kind of depends on what your symptoms are. I always try to tailor it to the person. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just wonder what was on your list.
That's another one. Perfect. Yep. That's a great one too. Yeah. Any SBOs. Yeah. Like the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Soil-based organisms. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. So great question. So speaking of supplements, so a good one, and this is a stress response, but it's very gentle and a lot of people respond really well to it, is you might have heard of it as ashwagandha. So ashwagandha is an adaptogen. So what it does is it helps your body to deal with stress. And so it's also supportive of the adrenals. Rhodiola is another one. I don't have those with me, but it's another adaptogen, helps your body just to manage your stress responses well. And adrenals love like nourishing. I mentioned bone broth earlier, ladies. Bone broth is exceptional for the gut, so it helps to heal the gut, but it's also got the essential acids that we need, that our bodies produce enzymes and helping our cells to get healthier. But yeah, ashwagandha, typically most people will do well with that one, and rhodiola. Or holy basil. Some of you might have, holy basil is the same as Tulsi. You might have seen Tulsi tea, T-U-L-S-I. That's also a good support mechanism, or holy basil also is the same. It's Tulsi and holy basil are the same. All right, one more, nutrition. Yes, ma'am.
This is not anything you mentioned, but...
I mean, sorry, nutrition, sleep.
I have a quick question. Can you speak on energetics from a Christian worldview? When you Google it, it comes up that it's like not, like homeopathic energetics are not
Sure. So that's a good question, because I'm going to talk about that a little bit in the movement portion, not about the homeopathy. But I love homeopathy. I only take homeopathic medicines. I don't do conventional medicines. And believe it or not, all the medical schools in this country, if you go all the way back before the Flexner Report was done, were homeopathic medical schools. And then the FDA came along and the AMA, and they began dysregulating homeopathic because there was no money to be made and people were getting healed. And so they didn't, I mean, now we're starting, don't let me climb my soapbox, but they didn't become a constant feed into the medical community. And so then the homeopathic schools got shut down, and then the medical schools that were approved, that were teaching the right things,
became more ubiquitous. And so if you study Samuel Hahnemann, and as I mentioned, we're energetic beings. God designed us. Our cells have polarity. We are negative and positively charged. And so the whole point of homeopathy is do no harm. And that's been sadly hijacked by the medical community, but do no harm, meaning that when you take a homeopathic medicine, it resonates with your body in such a way that it heals you at a deep core level, as opposed to just taking a medicine that dampens down a symptom at the surface. So it's like get to the root cause of why you're having the things that you are, not just causing your body to take a medication that you weren't lacking in to begin with, and now is going to have downstream impact on the body further. Now, there is tons of energetic things out there. Reiki, absolutely not. You know, there's certain things that are new age that, yes, as believers, we should never touch. But from a homeopathy specifically, there's nothing, there's no religious connotation or any form of spiritual voodoo going on there. I mean, it was truly medicine. He was taking substances that God created and realizing that it's the energy, the naturally occurring energy of the substance that was causing the person to heal. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like, for example, arnica. Arnica is homeopathy. Arnica is something that people take for bruising, for swelling. You can take it topical, you know, or you can take it systemic. Plastic surgeons give it to you even after, you know, like when people have things done to cause the bruising to come down faster. But for sports, yeah. So, but that's a great question. Does that help? Yeah. But there are things that, I mean, it's skirting a fine, you know, then we can talk about acupuncture. You know, it's like, okay, now we're starting to get into some things that while I've done it, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know, is it really? And I always tell people, it's like, this is something you have to take to the Lord, you know, and wrestle with. Unless it's a very clear delineator, which I'm going to talk about something in exercise, which some of you may groan or shoot me, but I'm just going to say it. but anyway, but yeah, there's certain things that we definitely as believers, we shouldn't touch, but yeah. All right. Okay, exercise. Or as I termed it, more movement, because I think exercise, here's the tragedy, is that exercise gets a bad rap in the sense that so many people think, ooh, I have to exercise for, you know, X number of hours or minutes a day, whereas, guys, we were designed to move. I mean, our bodies, God designed us to be mobile individuals, and if you notice, the less we move, the less healthy we become, okay? And meaning that recognizing also your limitations as moms and things of that nature, or maybe you've injured yourself, there's always modifications and caveats, but we are meant to be not sedentary individuals. So that, pick something, I always tell people when I start talking to them, pick something that you're going to enjoy. Like people go, oh, I hate running, but I feel like I have to run. I'm like, no, don't run, you know? I mean, maybe you like hiking, you know? Maybe you like swimming. Find something that naturally you're like, I would do this. I would look forward to it. And then as you do that, and he talked about this too, it's building community. So don't do it in isolation. Whereas, yes, I mean, sometimes I'm going to have to get up first thing in the morning and I'm going to go for a run. I'm not going to have anybody else with me. Okay, whatever. But then every now and then I'm like, oh, I'd rather go take a class. Or I'm going to get together with friends and go hiking on the weekend. It's like ways in which we can get outside. We get sunshine. We get fresh air. We're moving our bodies. It's helping to oxygenate our muscles and our organs and our brain. And I can tell you there's not a single time I've ever exercised that afterwards I was like, that was terrible. I don't ever want to do it again. No. Every single time I think, man, I feel better. Oftentimes I've gotten revelation about something because God's answered me because now my mind is clear. I'm more at peace in my body. I've breathed. So it's like I've gotten all that, you know, negative, whatever it is, out. And so exercise, ladies, and it may look different today in this season as it would 5 years ago or 5 years from now. But pick something, even if it's simply walking around the block. That's another thing. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. If you can walk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, do it. Maybe you do that 3 times a day. That's your exercise during a time period which you are constrained, you know, by activities or injury or what, you know, whatever it may be. So, but don't look at it as don't look at it as a have to, like I have to, it's a chore, but look at it as I get to, it's a treat. Like I have this body that God has given me. And that's another thing, going back to the Imago Dei, ladies, love your bodies. That's something I hate. I can't tell you. That's something that truly breaks my heart, is that we have so many societal problems with the ways that women have viewed themselves as their bodies, that is not just their body. It becomes an emotional problem. It becomes a behavioral problem. I mean, you think about the eating disorders. You think about just the physical harm that women do to themselves, talking about, you know, not stepping on any toes, but, you know, how we're consumed by plastic surgery in this country because everybody wanted to look different than how God designed them to look. I'm not saying don't take care of yourselves. I'm just saying stop cutting off viable body parts or putting body parts on that should never be there. But it's an opportunity to move your body in such a way that is God-honoring, so that you're viable, you're healthy, you're flourishing, not only for yourself, but also for your kids. You want to be there for your kids. You want to be able to get down on the floor and help them or run with them or participate. That was something, you know, that he was sharing about Lauren, his wife, is like she's missing out on some of these things that she could be doing with her boys because of an injury, you know, that she has. But then commit to it. It's a dedication. Like and some people are more apt to be able to dedicate themselves to things, but it's like, okay, make a pact with yourself. I always tell people, I'm like, it's just like if you were working and you had an appointment with someone, make an appointment with yourself. This is a commitment. This is your valuing yourself to say, this is important, not just for me, but for the health of my family and the health of the body of Christ. Because the longer you're viable and the longer you're capable, the more impact that you will have for wherever God calls you to. You don't want to get one day this vision where God's saying, oh, I'd love for you. The good works that I've prepared for you is this. And you go, ugh, I can't do that. You know, because you've set yourself up for not being able to have the energy or the strength or the wherewithal to be able to accomplish those things. So I said, you know, find something that appeals, not something that's drudgery, so you'll actually look forward to it. Commit to it. It's dedication, it's perseverance. So I always tell people, I'm like, start small with SMART goals. You guys have probably heard this, but SMART is specific, measurable, achievable. Like, okay, if you're not running at all today, you're probably not going to run a marathon in 3 weeks. Achievable, realistic, so that's the realistic part, and then time-oriented. So it's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-specific. And start with a SMART goal. And so he talked about, like, don't think about losing 10 pounds, think about doing 10 push-ups. Like, things that will help you to further that trajectory. So it's less about checking off the box and being like, wow, look at me, I just did 10 push-ups. Maybe I can do 15, you know, in 5 weeks or whatever it may be. Oh, sure, SMART. It's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-oriented. So that you're not, it's not like, I'm going to do this. Okay, but then if I'm not doing this in 4 weeks, then how can I tell if I've actually progressed? So make sure there's a time attachment there. And then speaking of, so this is what I talked about in my talk that I gave last year, but so in terms of movement, that's why I say movement, not exercise, is thinking about, ladies, our bodies, once again, are integrated so that we're moving with integrity, okay? So that movement is such that we're moving, our foundation is our feet. We should have strong, viable feet. So something that I brought, because so many ladies shove their feet into tiny little shoes that are narrow, and so our foundation gets very tight and stiff. There was a great article, actually one of my patients brought it to me last year, it was in the Wall Street Journal, because I always advocate for toe spacers. Ooh, these funny little things that look weird, but they work, because they actually strengthen your feet and they separate your toes. Your toes should have real estate, ladies. They should not be all squished and together. And it's okay if they are. I'm not judging you, but I'm just saying they would be happier if they had some space. But the article talked about toe spacers as the next leg up on fitness. And she was like, look, look, look. I'm like, finally, the Wall Street Journal's caught on to what I've been saying. But anyway, so feet, foundation, and then your spine. Ladies, your spine is meant to be mobile and flexible. We should bend and flex and rotate and twist. And I always say one of the best ways to do that, because that was his whole commitment and trajectory, was Pilates. I teach Pilates. I believe in Pilates. There's no religious connotation whatsoever to Pilates. He focuses on the spine and your breath and the tensegrity of how your body moves from the center out. The one thing, and this is why I said it might be controversial, but I'm telling you, ladies, none of you in here should be doing yoga. Absolutely not. At all. I'm just going to leave it there. But yoga, completely religious. Absolutely. It is a Hindu pagan practice, and you cannot Christianize it. I don't care. You cannot stick lipstick on a pig. I'm just going to say that. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Okay. And I say this from experience. I put myself through 500-hour yoga teacher training as a believer. Spiritual warfare like you would not believe. I mean, absolutely demons. And it's because every single asana that you put your body in, and this is not a stretching, ladies. This is a pose that is based on your body being submitted to a god, okay? And as you move and you flow through all of those asanas, you are putting yourself into that practice where you are submitting yourself to the kundalini energy that is wrapping. It's a serpent. It coils around your spine up to your brain. And the whole point is that you subject yourself. You submit. Yoga is yoke. You are yoking yourself to Brahman, which is the god umbrella of Hinduism. A true Eastern practitioner of yoga will laugh at Westerners and say, you cannot do yoga without submission to our gods. We have Westernized something that as a Christ follower, we should never allow into this church. And I will go on record to say that. And not just this church, but any church. And so be mindful, ladies. It is a sinister, subtle means by the enemy. And I can tell you, I have seen it. I saw it even as I was going through practice, but in my friend group, it starts off, no, this is just exercise. No, I'm not chanting. No, I'm praying as I'm doing this. It gets into your brain and into your body. There are things called kriyas, literally. You can see people who practice yoga for lengths of time. They have these body morphs that they go through, that it's that spirit in them that they have allowed in as a result of them submitting themselves to these poses that begins to influence their brains and their bodies. So you're welcome. I'll just say it like that. So yoga, sorry. Now, pick something else. and then do it in community, guys. So YMCA, running, walking clubs. I mean, there's if you can't do it yourself, like if you know I need accountability, then by gosh, join a group or pay a trainer, which is also great because it helps you with form. That's the one thing I, as a physical therapist, personal trainer, I look at, like Elise was saying, I'm like, ooh, what's going on there? I can see the body and I can be like, okay, but it's because bad habits have formed. That's not to say that you can't unravel those bad habits, those compensatory mechanisms in your bodies. But like someone says, oh, well, my doctor says I shouldn't squat. I'm like, so basically you can't go to the bathroom ever again. You know, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. So you should be able to squat till the day you die. I mean, literally, that's the whole point of, I mean, your knees, your spine, you know, you should be able to get your butt below your knees. And I mean, there's a reason why in Asian cultures, you see these older people, they're still doing this because they never stopped, because they didn't think in their brains, oh, I can't do that anymore, you know. And then stretching versus mobility. So I'm all on the mobility side. Stretching's great. Sometimes there's necessary, you know, need for static stretch. Hold for a second. But more so, all right, let's mobilize. Let's move the body so that we get blood flow through whatever muscles that we're trying to stretch and activate, so that mobility is what's going to keep your hips, your spine, your joints, your neck supple over time. So working on even just little mobility drills even. I mean, even if you got 5 minutes, okay, let's do some hip circles, you know, or let's do some side stretches, you know, opening up the ribs and things. So mobilizing your body. And then injury, obviously, you know, be mindful, modify if necessary. But a lot of times injury, people go, oh, well, you know, yeah, I just can't because I got arthritis because I've gotten old. No, it's because you're not using your body properly. If arthritis was an old person problem, every single person would have arthritis. And not only that, why is it just in your knee? Why is it not everywhere in your body? It's like, no, arthritis is because your joint, unfortunately, was taking undue stress from muscular imbalance and you weren't working it properly. So let's begin to unravel that and think, okay, how can we help? That's not to say that we're going to rebuild cartilage necessarily overnight, but we can free up and we can decompress those spaces that then gives you more freedom to be able to be more mobile. And then the importance of strength training. Okay, ladies, as we get older, I'm sorry, it's just necessary. You got to lift heavy things. And that's for bone density, that's for hormonal health. It's It's also just for your mental health. But lifting heavy things, he talked about it too. It's like, yeah, our bodies are meant anti-fragility. Or as I was just listening to Focus on the Family the other day, and Dr. Kathy Cook, which if none of you know who Kathy Cook is, she actually, her sister attends this church and she comes. But Kathy was talking about the resiliency of raising a resilient child. Well, we need to be resilient. And part of being resilient is pushing ourselves beyond what we think. Our minds will tell us to quit way before our bodies will, truly. And we really need to get beyond that. He talked about hitting the wall. Yeah, well, oftentimes the wall, and specifically in running, people go, oh, I hit the wall. I'm like, yeah, but then you push past, and then you find your runner's high, you know? It's like, it's right when you cross over, and then your body goes, oh, yeah. And then you go, I did it, yes. So strength training for ladies, bone density hormones, post-pregnancy, especially post-pregnant ladies. Well, definitely work out as you're pregnant, if possible. You know, obviously there's modifications if you need to. But post-pregnancy ladies, you need to, one, I can definitely advocate for pelvic floor therapy. Pelvic floor therapy. But two, you need to exercise and you need to build strong bones, weightlifting because of ligaments and tendons. Because remember, when you're pregnant, things get more loosey-goosey and you need to shoop. Bring everything back in, or other things will get loosey-goosey that don't need to, and you're gonna have some problems. But, and then posture. Oh, so fascia. And I gave you a little article talking about myofascial release. People think about muscles, they think about tendons, but they forget we have fascia. So fascia is the connective tissue. Think about you wrapped in saran wrap. And this is the last thing I'll say, and then I'll be quiet. Saran wrap. From the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, fascia, if I peeled back your skin before I actually got to the muscle, and you can see, like if you eat animals, you can see the connective tissue. It's like the thin kind of yellowish, like if you get chicken, you know, it's that stuff. It's the connective tissue that runs the length of our body. Our fascia will get adhered, just like saran wrap. It'll get sticky, and it'll stick, and it adheres to the muscles underneath, and then it causes trigger points. It causes muscle adhesions. And so fascia, ladies, that's why they talk about myofascial release, and the bottoms of the feet are a great place to start, and you do little myofascial balls, and you roll your feet. So that one, you keep your feet healthy and strong, but two, the fascia, if you're rolling on the bottom of the feet, all of a sudden, my neck tension just released, you know? So feet, hence also making toe space, but then feet rolling. So fascia is very important. And then on that note, I brought a few books. So The Body Keeps the Score, that's a great one. Now, these are not necessarily religious, so his is obviously spiritual. This guy's is not, but there's no less good information in it. Body Keeps the Score. Breathe. It's all the new science of a lost art, talking about the difference between mouth breathing and nose breathing. He goes into the science and also he puts himself through a 30-day experiment. It's really horrifying. What happens at the end of 30 days is he has plugged his nose and breathed only through his mouth. Great one, if you're interested in that. Talks about emphysema and healing the body through breath. Also changing scoliosis through breath. And then just on this note, these are spiritual, is Our Bodies Tell God's Story. This is one we read in Colson Fellows by Christopher West. It's fabulous. His work, it's kind of a summary of, but Theology of the Body, which is Theology of the Body for Beginners, Christopher West. It's all talking about how God's designed us as bodies. Like, we're not Gnostics. We don't believe the body doesn't matter. It does matter. So Christ came embodied. And then finally, this is a little guy. Overfed and undernourished, taking the confusion out of healthy eating. It's great. It's written by a woman who actually was a client of mine many years ago, and she lived to 104, just FYI. But this is just like little compiled information that she implemented in her own life. Yeah, she says to Shelley, with all your knowledge, you will always be well-fed and well-nourished, which I appreciated. So anyway, that's a little cut. All right, that's it. Tried to cover. I feel like I overspoke, but any questions about the movement portion real quick, and then I'll turn it back over to Toria. Oh, sorry. Yes.
I just have a quick question about if you had any, are there any YouTube videos on mobility exercises that you recommend, or where to start with that?
For mobility? Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. So remember earlier I said don't follow the Instagram influencers. Well, there's some decent ones on Instagram. Don't follow the influencer, but I can tell you, starting from the feet up, gait happens. Gait, like your gait,
Yep, exactly. Gate Happens, which is, I think it's gatehappens.com. Or gatehappens.org, I'm pretty sure it's .com. But they have links for articles, but also videos. And now theirs is from the perspective of feet moving up to hips, but there's some great ones about like hip mobility and learning balance and things like that. But then from a mobility standpoint, that's a good question. I mean, I know some that, you know, that I've pulled from, but sadly I don't. Not right off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are. Yeah, I mean, I put together little programs for my people, but like in terms of like compiled little video, I'm sure there are, but I can't. I don't want to misspeak and say, oh, this person, and then they're horrible. Yeah. So, oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Anybody? Last. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, how do you
decongest
the nose to then be able to take them out? Okay.
Your gut. Totally. I can tell you, I mean, allergies, yeah. It's gut. It's a lot of gut-related stuff. So thinking about, and that's why I gave that little article about food sensitivities, believe it or not, like nose congestion, sinus congestion. Now, that's not to say, I mean, some people have deviated septums. You know, some people have anatomical structures such that maybe need to be addressed. But a lot of times if it's like drippy nose or like, you know, sinuses, or you find it more at a certain time of year, it's environmental exposure but gut related. And then therefore, though, force yourself to breathe, even though it may feel like difficult. So guys, it's like, he talks about box breath. You can totally do box breath, but like single nostril breathing, you know, it's like, so it's like you're breathing in one nostril, breathing out the other, and you'll be able to say like, oh, okay, pretty good there. Oh, not so good, you know? So then, okay, so there are videos, but like, okay, let's do some massage then. Let's start to open, you know, like starting to get under the cheekbone and starting to pull the, you know, like, ooh, what does that feel like? Oh, look, I can breathe better, you know? So it's like, play with your body, guys, and like feel how things typically, you know, are, that's why I said fascia. Like fascia can get adhered even over our sinuses. But yeah, I would start with the gut, good microflora, and then neti pot. Neti pot is your friend. With grapefruit seed extract. Unless you're pregnant. That's true. Thank you for the caveat. Yes. And only like one drop. I mean, like some people like, woo, woo, woo. Yeah, no. Not lots of drops of that. Okay, all right, last one, then turn it over.
Just a question about probiotics. Can you talk about which ones you're ordering, some of
your market? So, yeah, the probiotics are, you want to think about the, now some specific strains are better for certain issues, but what I try to tell people is you want a broad spectrum. So ideally you want, the minimum I would say is 30 billion CFU, which is colony forming units, and then a 14 to 15 strain. So that's the types, and that's a pretty comprehensive, so it's going to help your body to absorb, you know. But the good thing is, here's the other thing, food, remember guys, fermented foods. So that's giving your body the necessary probiotics. So we're talking raw, but so kefir, fabulous. Kombucha, fermented sauerkraut, like anything, kimchi, you know, things that you can think are fermented foods are giving your body those probiotic strains at the same time. But yeah, so a 30 billion minimum and then 14 to 15 strain typically. And there are better ones than others. There's actually one, typically Sprouts, they'll sell it. It's just a liquid. It's young coconut water. It's called You Gut This. And you take just like a shot and it's 100 billion. But it's really good for people who are wanting to, and it's a liquid and it's like a 30-day supply. So.
Is it the live probiotics that are better?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Is it the live probiotics?
Oh yes, that's a good point. Yeah. So typically you want your probiotics refrigerated, guys. So typically those are the, unless it's the soil-based organism, someone mentioned the diatomaceous earth, that those are great too. So that would not be refrigerated. What's that? Yes. Now, specific ones. So when pregnant, you might want to think about like a women's based. They have a women's based for like vaginal health, but it's got more of the strains that are helping to maintain good flora in that way. Yeah. And it'll say, it'll have it on them. Yeah. Okay, ladies. Okay, I'm stepping down. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate your attention. Yeah, so I do clinical nutrition as well. Yeah, so. Oh, well, there you go.